Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Michelle McMahon from her.ie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we all are. I saw you outside swaying to the Frog Chorus. You're obviously really getting into the groove there.
I really enjoy that. Probably betrays my age a little bit, but that took me back. And
were
I got
you alive
a little bit
when
emotional.
It was a hit?
Just about, I think.
I'd say you were probably in your cradle. In your cradle being fed a bottle. But it's nice to see you here this morning. We're talking about being single. Are you single?
I'm not.
No. So what are you doing here then?
I'm talking about it and I'm collecting the experience of the her.ie
team. What do you know
team?
About being single if you're going out with somebody?
Well, I remember.
Were they lonely days?
You don't just forget that. No, it was just fine.
Scarred for life?
Oh God, I'm going to get in so much trouble. I can tell already we've barely begun. No, not scarred for life at all. Single days can be lots of fun.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about this issue that people have been discussing recently, which is called single shaming. I don't understand it, so please define it for me.
I suppose single shaming is something that, you know, we've had a good chat about in the office this week, and I've had a couple of first-hand experiences relayed to me. This idea that I suppose no matter how successful you are in life, how well your career is going, you know, you might be traveling every second week, you might be earning tons of money, you might have bought your first house, you might be delighted with your life and how it's going, but until you have a partner in your life that some people, you know, who are close to you and care about you, feel like you haven't really got it all sorted unless you've got somebody to,
okay,
you know,
so they're judging you,
yes, and assuming that it's not by choice, I think, is the biggest thing.
Isn't it funny though, the ones who do the judging, the ones who are in really crappy relationships who judge you as well.
Oh, that's it's great. Yeah.
Going, no, you should be like me and the other person. And they hate each other, but they're still judging you.
Yeah. Like the couple in Father Ted. We all have friends like that. Those friends, yeah, who will come to the party and it's, oh, and he did this
and,
for
and
me.
Did you see our picture
and
on Facebook?
Great.
Oh.
And look, at this is us on holidays. And you just know the second the door closes, they're just going to be.
I don't know why you made that face. Why did you?
What was that about? What was that comment?
Were you looking at her?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. So yeah, the ones that shout loudest about the relationships are usually the ones who maybe have their own insecurities. Great generalisation there.
We have to work in a world of generalisations for the purpose of this piece, Michelle. So tell me about witnessing firsthand single shaming.
Yeah, well, the one that sprung to mind for me, I'm at that stage of life where, you know, 21sts have been replaced by 30th birthdays.
Yes.
So the slew of those started about 2 years ago. And one of the first ones we went to was a group of girls and we all went to our friend's 30th birthday. And at the time the cake came out, her mother was sitting beside us. Her mother had had a couple of glasses of wine, was enjoying the party up until this point. And two of her three sisters came out holding the cake for her. So, you know, the lights go down, the candles are lit, everybody's singing along. And her mother turned to myself and one other friend here beside her, kind of elbowed us, had a tear in her eye, like, and she doesn't even have a man to take it out for her. Which, you know, I had to really stop myself from bursting out laughing on the spot. But I was truly shocked by it because, you know, this girl is so successful. Yeah. She's, you know, she's done so well in her chosen career field. She's, I suppose, ahead of a lot of the others in terms of life stages. You know, those big landmarks where we're all kind of trying to save for deposits and good luck with that. But you know, she's ahead in so many ways. And if you were to look at it like being ahead
she's
or behind.
She's got everything except
but
her man.
She doesn't have a man and mammy is not happy. This is 2 years ago. She's had a few dates that have maybe, you know, had turned into second and third dates since, but there's been nothing serious. So God love mammy. I don't know what stage she must be in at this stage.
Has this girl sacrificed her future with a man on the altar of her personal ambition?
I don't think it has to be one or the other,
there
to be totally honest. And that's the big problem. That's the mentality, you know. And there's been a big, big generational change. I suppose that's the thing. For my parents' generation, we'll say, there's a big change there in that most of the women my age that I know, you know, bar notable exceptions, we all work.
Yeah.
You know, whereas about my age, my own parents, my friend's parents, all that kind of generation, it would have been a case of, for the most part, he's out working, she's at home raising the kids.
Yeah.
That has hugely changed in quite a short space of time. So I don't think there's necessarily badness attached to it. I don't think, you know, that our parents are devaluing us by assuming that we should be in relationships. But there is a big change there. And a lot of people are the older generation maybe taking a while to get used to it. And, you know, I found it funny that her mother had that reaction. But I know this girl herself, she can't stand going home at this point because the first thing out of anybody's mouth is... Any news?
Any news.
And any news has one meaning only.
What about the other side of things when you break up? I mean, that scene is the great, you know, when you go home and go, it didn't work out.
yeah, you've wasted. I mean, this is stuff that came back. You know, we were having this conversation as well. Stuff that came back was that, you know, what a waste of a couple of years. Never mind what you've lived through in those years,
the experiences
you've had, all the good times. I mean, you learn and you grow in absolutely every relationship, no matter, you know, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
Yeah.
And this idea of kind of you're back to square one, like it was a test. You have somehow failed,
yeah,
and you must try again. But now you don't have as much age on your side, so it's going to be harder this time around.
Well, it is going to be harder for women than men.
Is it?
Well, you know, biologically, yes.
Oh, well, yeah, if you're talking about children, if you're talking about procreation, specifically, but that isn't the be all and end all for a lot of people. It's a decision for a lot of people these days, whether to have a family or not. It's not a given that that's what you're searching for.
Right, so that's the freedom of choice, the choice to be single, because if you're single and you're, what age are we talking about, 30s?
We're talking about 30s, I think, 30. Is the landmark, because we've talked about 30 as kind of the landmark age where your parents seem to think, or a lot of us, I suppose, growing up would have thought, like, oh, by 30, I'll have it all sorted.
Yeah.
I can confirm that is not the case.
Not the case.
But, yeah.
How long are you going out with your fella?
7 years-ish.
What?
Don't ask.
Look at your naked hand.
See, that's a whole other kind of single shaming, because I'm technically still single, and that's the question I get every time.
Single.
No, single as in whether it goes from single to married. You know, if you're ticking a form, you're either single or married.
Oh, I see.
You get two boxes. You don't get the, well, actually, long-term relationship this many years.
There's
you don't get
third
to
box
say that.
A very long engagement.
Insert other, please.
You're not engaged or anything?
No.
Why not?
Do you see any bling? No, no.
Are you looking for it?
No, well, I do love jewellery, but not specifically that. I do love jewellery.
But would you like a particular type of jewellery this Christmas?
I would like a chain. I'm a big fan of earrings. I like bracelets. Yeah, no, I love jewellery at any time of year. This is the kind
She's
of thing
very
I get.
Evasive.
This is the kind of thing I get all the time, so
do
I'm
you?
Very practiced.
Who'd
in
you get it from?
Everybody. Everybody. And, like, I mean, there can be, like, teasing amongst your friends, because maybe you're the one in the longest relationship. Thankfully for me and a lot of my groups, other people have taken the focus off, which is great.
Because they're getting married.
So you're like, no, let's talk about this one's wedding instead.
Then they get married, and then they go, now, where were we? There she is,
but
Michelle.
Then you get sat beside relations and you get the elbow at dinner. You're next. And I did read a great anecdote once about a person who started turning to old people at funerals and doing the same thing, and I just thought that was...
You're next. I love that story. So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't in some ways.
Very much so, and I suppose it is, you know, it's one of these things again that affects women much more so than men.
Yeah.
One conversation we had was about the whole buying a house thing. I mean, that's difficult for anybody in this day and age, particularly with the way prices are at the moment, with the conditions around deposits as they may change.
Exactly.
But if you see a young man, you know, mid-20s to mid-30s, and he's bought his house, the parents' generation tends to say, like, isn't he a great catch? Fair play to him. Look at that. You know, this is the kind of thing you hear. Whereas with girls, we've had this collective experience where we've all said, actually, what you tend to hear is, and is she going to do that on her own? And does she not have anybody to look after her? You know,
what's going on with that?
Assumption that you absolutely need, if you're female, somebody to look after you, somebody to mind the house. Who's going to do all the jobs? Who's going to deal with all the builder? I mean,
who's going to take the bins out there?
Who's going to do that? Sure, you could hardly pull them yourself.
And that poor fella there with the ironing, who's going to do that for him? The poor lad. But isn't he great that he got the cash together for the house? Christmas, the great magnifying glass.
Yes.
And that's where you're single thinking, wouldn't you like to cozy up beside somebody on the couch?
It's maybe where you're thinking that. It's more so where you're likely to hear it. I think in terms of liking the idea of closing up to somebody on the couch, there's always a case of the grass is greener. So whether you're in a long-term relationship and you're listening to the girls in the office talk about going out in the pool, or, you know, maybe getting a message from the nice guy that they met the night beforehand, you know, that kind of excitement, that frisson you get at the start. You obviously don't have that, you know, so there's both sides of that. Whereas you'll have the girls who are saying, they've been single for I don't know how long. Oh God, wouldn't I love to just cuddle up on the couch and watch a film? Incidentally, a cuddling business has opened up in Portland, Oregon this week.
Which is
where you go in and you pay $60 for an hour for someone to cuddle you. And that's all. There's nothing else. So you know.
Sounds like a perverse convention.
Well, it does. Like, but it does exist.
Imagine the creatures that... First of all, could you imagine the creatures doing the cuddling?
Yeah.
Could you imagine the cuddly?
I'd be more worried about, to be totally honest.
How often must your life be if you have to pay for cuddle?
Yeah.
I mean,
and apparently she got 10,000 inquiries in 1 week. That's the figure she's quoting.
Yeah, by what sort of creature stuff?
I put 10,000 of said creatures. But yeah, so you know, you might want cuddles. You might, you know, you might want the grass is greener on the other side type thing crops up all the time. But Christmas, I think, and landmark birthdays, stuff like that, family occasions, weddings, those tend to be occasions where stuff like this is magnified. So instead of just maybe having your mom have a little elbow and go like, it's all well and good being a career woman, but you might have your granny doing the same. You might have your auntie doing the same. You know, you have all these relations, or the cousin who happens to be the same age as you, who you haven't even seen in about 5 years, is the same age and is showing off the ring. Or talking about the wedding plans. And then everyone slowly turns to look at you and ask you what the plan is.
Story?
What's going on?
How do you fight it? I want to buy a hand. How do you fight it? How do you fight the judgment? The constant judging. Do you just get into a zone in your head that goes, I got just water of ducks back, or do you have a line? I was giving you a hard time there, and you said, yeah, I'm used to this. So you were able to fight it back.
Yeah, with that one, I am just, yeah, whatever. It's my time, it's my plan, off with you. You know, if who says you'll even get invited to the day out if there is one, which is my general response, to be totally honest. But in terms of the single stuff, talking to, again, a lot of friends this week about this, that can be a little bit soul crushing, where there's a big night and the first thing that people want to know about you is, have you found somebody?
Yeah.
Well, no, but listen, I've done all of these other things since you've seen me last. And, you know, I've got all this exciting stuff going on, but that's the only thing you want to know. Or people who position themselves as the matchmaker. So somebody who is in a relationship, and we all have one of those friends as well, maybe a little bit bored, perhaps, but assigns themselves, whether wanted or not, as the official wingwoman on a night out.
Yeah.
He's lovely. Come on, we'll go over and talk to him. And, you know, look at this guy and look at that guy.
A little bit busybody, is it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That'd be kind of getting in there a bit for that person.
For most of us, if I need the help, I'll ask for it.
Where are you from, Michelle?
Clare.
I was trying to pick the accent. I had West, but I didn't have, because I was kind of going towards Galway.
Close.
Not far off. What part of Clare?
Lissy Casey.
And how did you meet your boyfriend?
In college.
Okay. And is he working?
I'm going to be very short with these answers. Yes, yes, he is.
And do you live with him?
I do.
Thank you very much, Michelle McMahon of her.ie. You're good at this. Were you ever a member of Sinn Féin or the IRA?
No, but
you're good at answering these questions.
Thank you,
I think.
Them
like you're being, yes. Dig deep enough, there's a compliment in there somewhere, love. Michelle McMahon of her.ie. How are the gang at her?
They're very well. They're all sending their love and begging for toy show tickets. But
well, I'm afraid that's going to be a no. But it's a yes to the love and it's no to the
tickets.
Thank you.
I'll send that back.
Have a great day, Michelle.